Hopefully you guys had a good Christmas, getting ready for a new year. The name of this message is called Performance Review. And as a leader, one of my goals is to be transparent, right? And to be real. And I believe that each of us, in order to be healthy, we need to be real with God. We need to be real with ourselves, and we need to be real with each other. And there's a leadership concept that I learned many, many years ago doing ministry with college students that it says, ultimately, if you want those who are following you to bleed, you need to hemorrhage. And what that means is that if there's something that you're passionate about passing on to the people that you're leading, you need to bleed so much, you need to hemorrhage so much for them to get a little bit of that in order to bleed, if that makes sense. And so Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, he says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. So in a nutshell, what that says is be like me only in as much as I am like Christ. That's powerful, right? I would hope that all of us would be able to say that as followers of Jesus. If you have a relationship with Jesus, and to the degree that you have become like him as you've been pursuing him, right, in that sanctification process, that others could look at you and they would become the Jesus that they see inside of you. Does that make sense? It's powerful. That's what Paul was saying. Paul wasn't saying, be like me. Paul was saying, be like Christ in me. Right? Did Paul go through a radical transformation to become more and more like Christ from glory to glory? Yeah, and it was an interesting journey that he had to go on to do that. I often use a phrase, you'll hear it in many of my messages, that is authentic assessment. Right? Are you guys tired of that phrase yet? Yeah, it's part of the hemorrhaging. And ultimately, I do this because I believe the Lord is redeeming something in our culture that's being threatened. It wasn't my plan. It wasn't something that was on my screen when he started having me utilize that phrase in messages. But it seems like in many of my messages, as I'm preparing, he throws it in. Does that make sense? And the enemy wants us to be afraid to be real with ourselves, or to be afraid of how God truly sees us. It's sort of this sense that if the enemy can convince us that God is looking to catch us doing something wrong so that we're afraid of him, or if he can convince us that we need to hide ourselves, somehow we need to keep this part of our life in the dark that nobody knows about this part of us, right? He actually wins because we're not free. And Jesus came that we would be free, fully free, and we would have abundant life. The enemy wants us to be afraid to draw from one another, that we would have people speaking into our lives and we would be able to speak into their lives, right? In an effort that he would convince us that we cannot share honestly with each other for pride, comparison, or jealousy. That somehow we can't be honest with one another and we can't receive from one another. And so, like with the people mover at the airport, I mentioned this a couple messages ago, or maybe it was last week, or no, 2 weeks ago, that we have to run in the opposite direction, right? Left to our own devices, we will go, society is moving this way, everybody is going this way. The only people who are moving in the opposite directions are those who will fight to run. You can't just turn around. Because if you turn around, you'll still go this way on that people mover at the airport. You have to run. You have to use effort and exertion in order to get back going this way and moving in an opposite direction. That's part of what repentance is all about. You change the way you think. And it's not okay just to change how you think. You actually have to live in a different manner because you're believing something new. And often that will take effort on our part. We're in a culture that we want life to be easy. We want life to be comfortable. And so if it doesn't come easy, we feel like, well, I'm just not good at it, so it's not what it's supposed to be. And that if you talk to any athlete, Right? Some have natural abilities, but every single athlete still needs to practice and train in order to get proficient at their sport. Right? And so it's the same for us. I believe that honest assessment and evaluation of growth are keys in staying healthy and continuing to thrive for all of us. And so earlier in the month, I was asking the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to preach on this day? I usually prepare these messages earlier because of the holiday season. And I felt like this never happened to me before, but I woke up and I had a phrase on my mind's eye, and it said performance review. And so I don't know how you are with the Lord, but when something happens that gets your attention, I usually ask him, like, is that you? Like I had been asking for several days, what do you want me to preach on? And then I had this encounter, this experience. And so I felt like he said, that's what you're going to preach on. And then he showed me a picture of our new office. And in our new office, it has windows on multiple sides. And in order to get the light in, we open those blinds, right? And yet the reality is, as we open the blinds, it's like a prophetic act. Our lives are open for all to see. And I love that because I love worshiping in that office. I don't have to be afraid to worship. It's like Daniel, right? When the law came down to stop worshiping God, you cannot worship the way that you used to worship. He wasn't afraid of going to jail. He wasn't afraid of dying because he was committed to his Lord. And so we don't need to be afraid to worship. And so he gave me that picture. The blinds are open. And he said to encourage authenticity, dispel the fear of standing before God to hear what he would say, and dispel the fear of celebrating and growing with your brothers and sisters in Christ. So this is going to be a different message. Because ultimately, this message is my journey with taking a word from the Lord and allowing him to walk me through it. And so it's a window into my process. Some of you will like this message. Others of you may not like this message. It's okay. It's just a message, right? Jesus is my Savior. I can stand here and say that with confidence. And Jesus is also my Lord. He's my Lord. And so part of lordship, I looked up the definition of Lord. It's someone or something having power, authority, or influence. It's a master or a ruler. And the truth of Jesus' lordship is he doesn't lord over me harshly, right? He's not like a lord in the sense of the world, how somebody in the world would lord over somebody else. He doesn't lord over me harshly because he calls me friend, and yet we're still in the same family business. We're in the same business together, and he's my boss, right? I'm in the business of kingdom advancement. That's the business I'm in with him. And he's my boss. He's my Lord. And so when I thought of that phrase, the next thing, performance review, right, I started thinking about 2025. Obviously, we're towards the end of the year. This is the last Sunday of this year. And I felt like the Lord, he posed some questions to me. He says, how did you grow in 2025? How did you, Phil Smith, personally grow in 2025? What did I learn in 2025? What is the fruit of my life in 2025? How do I measure the fruit of my life from year to year? See, the difference with me as a pastor at this church is I don't have a boss. Our system isn't set up that way, right? Our leadership structure doesn't work that way. So Pastor Lewis and Pastor Lisa were on the eldership. We worked together, and they would challenge me or call me if they recognized something in how I was living or what I was doing that was contrary to the gospel or contrary to what we would, to Christianity or to Jesus, right? They would challenge me just like I would challenge them. If they were living out a certain way or they started speaking in a different mindset and I had red flags, I would say something. I know my brother Lewis would say something to me, right? That's a good check and balance that we have. But no one sits down with me every year to say, how are you doing, Phil, as a pastor? How are you doing as a leader, right? And so my previous context, when I worked at a school called North Valley School, every year we did self-assessments, We did peer reviews, and then we received a performance review from the director of the program. The environment at that school was focused on learning and growing in order to become better each year at serving the needs of the students that we work with. The goal was that you're always improving. There's always room for improvement. There's always ways that you can grow. And so the assessments weren't meant to be critical. They weren't meant to be demeaning in any nature whatsoever. They were meant to be honest and reflective to help each person on the team grow. The most veteran staff, like say you'd been there for 20 years, you still can grow. Do you know that? Do you believe that? Or have you arrived? Right? And then you just lord over everybody else because I've been here for 20 years. I know everything. No. If you're going to be healthy, right, that everybody still has opportunity to learn and grow. And so in this kind of assessment, what we're going to do today, there's some key foundations. There's key things that you need to believe, or I wouldn't encourage you to do this. These are key truths, and I do feel like they're very important to believe before approaching some kind of a performance review. The first is that God hates the spirit of fear. You guys believe that? He never uses fear to manipulate us. God will never use fear to manipulate you. He can't, right? He would be partnering with the enemy if he did. So that's one thing. The other things are, there's three key declarations. One, God declares me. If you have a relationship with Jesus, you can say this also. God declares me righteous by his blood. It's not by anything that I've done. His sacrifice was sufficient, and it is finished. So as I stand before you today, I'm righteous. Another thing I can declare is God declares me beloved. Again, it's not based on anything I do or don't do. I'm beloved in who I am. And the last is God declares me chosen. I'm wanted and I'm accepted. So I don't partner with the spirit of fear. I'm righteous, I'm beloved, and I'm chosen. Why are those things important? These truths, they're not under assessment. They're not being reevaluated. So as I come before God, he's not going to challenge whether I'm righteous, whether I'm beloved, or whether I'm chosen. Does that make sense? If you're still wrestling with those things, you're not sure, am I righteous, like based on your theology, or you're not sure that you're beloved, you're still trying to earn his love, right? This exercise we're going to do isn't going to be a good thing to do, because there's still a way that the enemy's voice has influence in your process. If you don't believe you're chosen, right, somehow he just lets you in. But you're not really wanted, and he doesn't really like you, right? You don't know anybody who believes that? I do. I know other believers who believe that. It's how they see themselves, right? And so the evaluation or performance review, it's meant to produce celebration and growth. It's not just to pat yourself on the back and say, hey, great job, you're amazing. But it's some of that. But it also will reveal areas where the Lord is calling us to grow. If it produces fear, comparison, self-loathing, pride, false humility, anxiety, hiddenness, or jealousy, then there's another voice being allowed to be at the table. And you and I, as followers of Jesus, we have the authority to tell that voice not only to be quiet, but to leave. Does that make sense? So if you do a review of yourself and all you hear is things that make you feel afraid, or all you hear is things that make you feel you start comparing and you're jealous of the other people that you see. Well, I'm not like that person and I'm not like this, right? Or you feel like you see something and you have to hide it. So you start getting anxious, right? Or nobody can know that. That's an indicator that somebody else is influencing your process. The main scripture we're going to look at today, and we're not going to dissect it, it's familiar to many of you, is John 15. And in John 15, Jesus says, "I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another." So we're going to look at some of the truths that we can get from this passage of Scripture. The first is that abiding in Jesus, remaining in Jesus, produces fruit. It can't not. Does that make sense? If you abide in him, if you remain in him, if you're close to him, there will be fruit that is produced in your life. Those who bear fruit will be pruned in order to bear even more fruit. So that's good news and bad news, right? So the reality is you abide in him, you're really close to Jesus, and you start looking like him. There's things that are produced in your life. And what he promises, that those things that look like me, I'm going to prune it so that you can even grow in that more, right? So let's use love as an example. If you start seeing a lot of love in your life, right? And then he prunes it. What does that actually look like? I don't know. But it's going to happen because he wants you to not just look like this level of love. He knows there's more of his love that he wants revealed through your life. And so there's a pruning process. The Father is glorified in the fruit production in my life. Do you believe that? That the fruit that comes through you and your abiding process with him actually glorifies the Father, just like it did with Jesus. I'm pausing because that's not just an easy statement. I think that we like to say a lot of, you know, how I live or the choices I make or what I do glorifies him. But Jesus in this passage is saying it's the fruit that's produced in your life is what glorifies the Father. And the only way I can produce fruit is to abide in him. Nothing else that I do outside of that is going to glorify the Father. It's only in the intimacy that I have with him that something gets produced that glorifies the Father. Another truth is that every disciple produces fruit. And in our culture, it's common to try to compare. And yet that's not the message. The only comparing comes between you and you. from year to year? What's your fruit production this year? What can that tell you, right? Often it tells you about your intimacy with him and how well you've abided or remained in him. Obedience to God's word is a key to abiding, right? So there is a level of obedience, but it comes from the word, both the logos, right? So the written word of God, which has a lot of things that Jesus called us to do. The Father calls us and invites us to do. The Holy Spirit leads us in. And then you have the rhema word. It's the now word, right? Sometimes that highlights one of the scriptures in the logos. And sometimes it's just the Holy Spirit speaking to you or highlighting something, an area to go or a person to go to or something to do. Obedience to that word is a key in that abiding relationship. Make sense? And the fruit produced through our abiding, it says it remains or lasts. It never goes away. So the fruit that was produced this year from your abiding lasts for all eternity. That's really, really good news. And then the last truth is that loving one another is a byproduct of the abiding process. So if we want to grow in love for one another as the body of Christ, or even those who are not believers, right? If we're going to love, increase in love, the only place that that can happen is in a place of abiding. Why is that true? Who's love? God is love, right? Right? So if you want more love in your life, who do you have to be connected to? God, right? It makes sense. And so the only way I'm going to have more love is not by straining and trying harder. It's by connecting to him, allowing his love to pour into me, to receive his love, and then allow that to overflow into other people's lives. So once you have those truths embedded, right, my process was first starting with a personal assessment. So for a personal assessment for me, is I usually start a year with some goals or things that I'm looking at or focusing on. So I had to go back to the beginning of January in 2025. And some of the things that were on my heart for this year, one was a deeper connection and intimacy with God. I wanted to grow in my walk with God. I wanted to learn more about Father. I wanted to learn more about Jesus. I wanted to learn more about Holy Spirit. The unique things about each of them. What does it look like to partner with them? What does it look like to grow in intimacy with them? And so that was one of the things that I did. A strategy that he gave me, this isn't for you necessarily to do, but a strategy that he did this year, which I've never done before in my life, is I journal every day. But a strategy that he gave me for this year in connection with this goal was instead of me spending as much time of me writing down my thoughts, I felt like he said to listen and record his thoughts each day. And so every day of the year, I have a part of my journal is his thoughts to me. It's half the page. And so the reality is I've gone back now at the end of this year, and I've looked at it again from January 1 last year. What did the Lord speak to me about? It's all different things. It often had nothing to do with what I was focused on or what was going on in my life. It was different things about him, different understandings about how he works and operates, right? It's just a very interesting strategy. And so at the end of the year, it's interesting of where I stand with that. Another thing was that I set out with, I want to see people come to know Jesus. And so at the beginning of the year, I was like, Lord, I want to see people come to know you through my life, through ministry, through the different things that are connected with grace, that kind of stuff. And if I'm honest about that, there's people who've made progress on their journey towards coming closer to Jesus, but not many people have accepted Jesus that I know of through my words or my actions, right? And so that's an honest assessment this year. Healing. You guys know my heart. I'm always pressing for healing. And so I've had the experience of seeing many people receive healing through prayers and ministry that I've done this year. Not everybody, right? I participate in the healing rooms. And so there's individuals that come in with a condition, they leave with the same condition, right? So I have to be honest with that. The level of effectiveness in my prayers still has room to grow. Does that make sense? And so the other exciting part of that is that many people did receive healing. Some of them, they received it instantly. Some of them received it over time with multiple sets of prayer. And others, it's like I prayed for them once, and then in a month or something, they were healed. Make sense? And so often you say, well, how many other people prayed for you? I don't care. I prayed, right? So part of my prayer gets some of that. Anyway, that's healing. Creative miracles. I still haven't seen my creative miracles. Right? Start the year, you're like, oh, this is going to be the year. Blind eyes open, deaf ears open, right? Limbs grow out. I've prayed for a lot of people for creative miracles. Haven't seen it this year. Transform lives. Lord, would you let people's lives be transformed through my word, through my actions, right? Many people's lives have been transformed or in the process of being transformed. Does that make sense? And then the last one that I put for this year to share with you guys is, it's a phrase that he has utilized for me often when I'm on the streets and I'm interacting with people through ministries like Freedom Dispensers or just on my own. But I really feel like God wants people to know that he sees you, he knows you, and he loves you. And so that was a phrase that he gave me somewhere in the end of last year or somewhere, I don't know. But it's been highlighted to me that when any interaction I have with a person in the supermarket or somewhere where I feel like I'm supposed to minister, I feel like God just, he reminds me of that. Let him know that I see them, I know them, and that I love them, right? And it's in that order, right? There, he sees them. You could do it for yourself. He sees you as you sit here this morning. He knows you, everything about you, and he loves you. And I think that's the kicker, is often we see, if you're operating under a spirit of fear, just the statement, he sees me, can terrify you. And then if you add, he knows you, he knows me, he knows everything about me, can cause your anxiety level to go like this. And yet the last phrase is, he loves you. He loves you just as you are, with all the stuff that's going on in your life, every detail about you. He loves you. That's a powerful message. And so one of my goals was to grow in that message, both believing it about myself, but also releasing it to other people. And so I find that it's important to be honest and yet not critical with ourselves. Do you guys know the difference? All right? To be honest. Honest about the things that I set out for in this year that didn't happen, but not beat myself up about it, right? Not sort of say, oh, it's my fault that that didn't happen, but to be honest before the Lord, honest with my hopes and disappointments, and then also celebrating what God did and is doing, and at the same time, pressing in for the more. I'll give you one example from the healing rooms a few weeks ago. A young man came in and he was asking for deliverance. He wanted prayer for deliverance for a number of issues. One thing that was obvious with him as he walked through the door is he had the hearing aids in both ears, and but he didn't ask for prayer for his hearing. He wanted deliverance. And so we did an encounter with him and did a deliverance ministry session, and it was amazing. And this man got so much freedom as a part of going through this process. And there was places that God took him back to in his life where the enemy had gotten in, sort of some doors and windows. We dealt with those issues, and we were able to close those things. He received just a radical impartation from the Holy Spirit in terms of peace and life in ways that he hadn't experienced before. And as we were going through the process, I asked him, I said, hey, I noticed that you're wearing hearing aids. Can you tell us about that? And he was born not being able to hear. And one of the things that came out in the session as he talked about it was that it's generational, that his father had hearing when he was born, but somewhere in his middle of his life, he lost his hearing. His grandfather, I think, didn't have any hearing or something like that. It was like three or four generations back that it was this generational thing that was going on. Anyway, we addressed it and we prayed for him. For breakthrough in that area and for freedom, and he didn't get any relief in his hearing in our presence. I haven't heard back from him. But the reality is that didn't happen. So what do I do with that session? I celebrate the deliverance that he experienced. He came in asking for deliverance. He received a measure of deliverance, right? The creative miracle that I was hoping for, that I was longing that he would experience in my presence, he didn't get that. That's okay, right? I'm not going to beat myself up about that. As best as I could, we followed, me and the people on the team, we followed what we felt like the Holy Spirit said, how to pray or how to address it. Does that make sense? So we're faithful in our process. The reality is that if we want more power, where does power come from? It comes from him. It comes from abiding in him, intimacy with him, right? And so I'm not in the camp that somehow it just was God's will that he doesn't hear. That may be true, but I don't like that. It doesn't feel like Jesus's ministry. And so there's a place where I don't blame God, but I also don't blame myself or beat myself up. But I know that if I want more, I need to press in for the more. Make sense? All right. So I take all that I gather in my personal assessment, then I bring it to Jesus' feet. So I do this assessment. What are my goals? What is God showing me about those as I look at that? Then I bring it to his feet. I lay it at his feet. And I let him speak to it, and then I rest in what he says. So in each of those categories, I sat and I listened to God. What do you say about the healing in that happened this year in my life, the things that I did? What do you say about creative miracles? What do you say about my intimacy with you? What do you have to say about transform lives? And I listen and see what he has to say about it. And then I can rest in that. And the second step of this process was the peer review. And so this is something I haven't done in this setting before. But I believe that God's placed each of us in community for a purpose. In that our Christian brothers and sisters, they know us very well. Because they live with us. They see us. They see how we live. They see the fruit in our lives, right? They ultimately, hopefully, see us as God sees us. And so for this peer review, I felt led to ask some of my friends to seek God on my behalf and ask for a word about my life in two areas. And the first area was this: what is a fruit that you see growing in my life? And so a group of friends, they shared these things. And so the first one that I heard was love, that this person saw more love coming out of my life this year. Someone saw power. Another person saw perseverance. Another person saw wholeness. A person saw risk. Another person felt like there was growth in divine revelation. And then the last was humility. And so what do I do with these words, right? The first thing I feel led to do is to receive them. To receive it. Say, oh, you see that in my life. I receive that. And then take note of it. What is there anything that's connected to these words, right? Thank God for them, right? Where did this fruit come from? Is it my good efforts? Is it my good job? Nope. It's only from abiding. Make sense? And then celebrate. And then I took these words, these truths, these fruits, and I laid them at Jesus' feet because it's for his glory. Apart from Jesus, I can do nothing. Apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. It's really true. Any fruit that's produced in my life comes from abiding in him because Jesus is the life force. And so my response to the fruit that people see in my life is celebration and gratitude. Make sense? The second question I asked my friends was, what's one area where I can grow? A lot of people don't like that question. Because they feel like that it opens the door for someone to be critical of you or to judge you. But I don't have to worry about that from my friends because my friends see me as God sees me. And so the list that I received was an area I can grow in is freedom. They felt like there's more levels of freedom that I could access. And a person said peace. And one of the things that was interesting about the word peace is that the person noted that you've experienced a tremendous amount of increase over your life in the area of peace. But they felt like God said, there's more. there's more peace for you to experience. Another person shared the word, they heard the word fantasy, but the picture that sort of came with that was sort of dreaming with God or seeing in the spirit, right? So to be able to go into a new realms with him and experiencing that was an area of growth. One person saw taking thoughts captive. Another said receiving and hosting his glory, more of his glory. And then the last person, they said the word humility. And it was interesting because they also shared that the fruit was humility. And I thought, oh, what a great example, right? In the area of pruning. So they saw fruit in my life of humility in 2025. And that they felt like the Lord said, that's going to be pruned ultimately. They didn't use that language. But you're going to grow in more fruit and more humility in 2026, right? It's an area of growth. The only way I can grow on that is to be pruned. Make sense? And so what do I do with these words? I bring them to the feet of Jesus, right? But with the intent to mine them. There's gold in what my friends were willing to risk to share with me. Does that make sense? It's a risk. There's gold there, and I want to get all of the gold. And so questions I was asking was, what do the words actually mean? Right? And for those who shared a picture with the word, what's the Holy Spirit highlighting in the image that they shared with, coupled with the word that they gave me? And then ask Jesus, what do you say about each of these areas? Right? What do you say about the need for me to grow in freedom? What do you say about the need for me to grow in taking thoughts captive? Right? Allow him to speak to that. Again, they're not corrective words. They're invitations from the Holy Spirit to press in for the more that God has for me. Isn't that beautiful? It's partnering with the body of Christ, right? I had a conversation about the body of Christ, right? Jesus is the head, and everyone who is a follower of Jesus is part of the body. It's important for the body to be connected. And one of the ways we do that is to share into each other's lives. The last step of the assessment is... I wrote the Lord's assessment. What does he say? All right, what does he say about this year? Again, this is not a comparison with other disciples. He's not saying, well, you're like this and these people are like this. No, it's me and him. It's me and him. What do you say about my life, Lord? And again, it's not comparing other pastors. It's not. He's not ranking me with all the pastors in Santa Rosa, right? No, it's me. It's not comparing other leaders. It's me. And so it's meant for growth, right? And so asking the Holy Spirit, asking the Father, asking Jesus, what do you say about the fruit that you see in my life in 2025 and areas for growth? And I felt like that the key that he highlighted first when I sat with him was he gave me four words of things that he saw. One was hungry. He said, hungry. You're hungry. You're hungry for more. You're passionate, you're longing, you're pursuing the more. He said, you've been faithful. You've been faithful with what I've given you, right? He said, you've been obedient, right? And he knows me, right? He knows I haven't been obedient in everything. I know the times where I see a person in need and I go the other way, right? Where he gave me a word, go do this, and I didn't do it. So for him to say I'm obedient, that's an interesting thing. Yes, there's been many places where I said yes to what he was calling me to do, but I wasn't perfect. Makes sense? But he sees me as obedient. And then the last one is compassionate, which is very interesting because that's been something I've been pressing for is, Lord, give me more of your compassion. Do you know one of the beautiful things about Jesus? Whenever Jesus was moved with compassion, on the other end of that compassion, there typically was a miracle. Sometimes it was a physical miracle. Sometimes it was a provision. It was some supernatural thing that happened as a result of compassion. So it's an interesting to press for. I don't know that I was pressing for more compassion. Obviously, I'm open to it, but he felt like there's more compassion. And then he took me through a list, and I'm just going to say their names, but of people that I had encounters with this year. This isn't every single person that I had an encounter with, but these are ones that he brought back to mind. The first was a doctor, this Dr. Doniach. This was a doctor that he sent us to through Freedom Dispensers that none of us knew. We went to her office, and we left a card and tried to make contact. Anyway, I ended up making contact with her and shared with her over the phone and gave her a word of encouragement. It was somebody who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus, but God wanted her to know that he's on her heart, or that she's on his heart. Christian and Pat Montague, right? They own an appliance shop right over here. We had a word of knowledge that that someone had an issue with their neck. And so we went in, the Freedom Dispensers team, we went in and we shared that word. It caused a little stir in the office. It ended up being the son of the owner who works there. And so the son wasn't there, but we partnered with the father and we were able to pray for the son. When we went back later, several months later, and we checked, there was improvement in the son's neck, right, based on that word. And then we were able to bless that business. A man named Victorio, who I met on the creek path right down here, and just gave a word about his life and spoke into him and was able to release things. RC and Lori Carrillo, who just became the senior leaders at a sister church here in Santa Rosa, God highlighted them to give a word of encouragement and partner with them in the ministry that they're doing. A guy named Franklin, who was in a wheelchair by Macy's, he ends up being the youth leader at a church, another sister church in Santa Rosa. I was able to pray for him and partner with him in his ministry. He was asking for grace in his ability to work with the kids that he works with. A man named Scott, who had an amputated leg, who I saw on the back of a van. This guy, Richard, who I met at Rayleigh's with a gunshot wound in his leg. Another brother in Christ, this guy Damon, who was able to give a prophetic word of encouragement. A man with an amputated leg in Safeway, his name is Layman. This guy Brian, who has an autoimmune system failure, who works near the post office, and God sent us to pursue him again. I had prayed for him probably 6 years ago, and God said, go there again, right? And we had an interesting journey. A guy in a Safeway with an amputated foot named Andy. And then a guy named Tony, who owns Dapper's hair salon or barbershop. And then a guy named David in front of the post office. Anyway, all of these people's names, they come with a story. They come with a journey, an adventure. And part of that is God just reminding me what happened over the course of this year. For him, often it was people. It was people where the kingdom of God is near, right? We say the kingdom of God is at hand. Whose hand? Your hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. That's what Jesus said. Where does Jesus live? He's inside of me. Kingdom of God is at hand. So every one of these people I came in contact with, I brushed up against, the kingdom of God came near. And something in that God wants me to get, not miss what he did this year in these kingdom connections with these people. And then the next thing he showed me was the faces and names of every single person who calls Grace Fellowship home. And I was able to sit and just look at each person, say, God, what did you do in the life of that person this year? One of the things that he gave me a few years ago is a different prayer strategy for you guys. And it's called Thanksgiving Prayer. And so instead of praying for what I know you need, for those who I know what you need, he said to thank him for what's going on in their lives. Thank him for what he's doing in their lives. And so every week I pray for every single person at Grace. The reality is, he said in this assessment, go back and look at them. Look and let me show you what I'm doing in their lives. Let me show you the growth that's happening in their lives. And the types of things that he highlighted was the courage to keep going, for those of you who have had courage, fighting for truth no matter the cost, the ways you've loved each other well. It's amazing. It's very beautiful. And then the last thing he said to me is a phrase that I've been saying to other people. He said, I see you, I know you, and I love you. Right? Jesus' assessment is vital for each one of us. Ultimately, what he has to say is really the most important thing. But I think often we want to just jump to that. And we never give ourselves a chance to look at ourselves. And we never invite other people into speaking into our lives. Right? We don't need to be afraid to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to what he would say about us. If you have fear, you don't need that fear. I can tell you honestly, there's reasons why you have it, right? There's reasons why we partner with the spirit of fear. It's usually from past experience or something that happened and we were younger. So I get it. But in his words, there's light and life. And in his words, there's sustenance to keep going. To stay the course and to trust the process that he has you in. To win the prize, right? We're all trying to win the prize. Some of us, it's a hard journey. And I think of the one who said that phrase, which is Paul. I think of his journey. And yet he stayed the course to try to win the prize. And to glorify the Father with the fruit of your life. And so the encouragement that I have from my own experience, but for you, is if you decide to go through a process like this, when you get to the part where you invite Jesus to say, what do you say, or the Father, or the Holy Spirit, right, is don't rush. Don't rush. And then receive what he says. Take time to actually receive it. Let it go to the core of who you are. And you can ask him questions about it. If he says something, he gives you a word, you can ask him about that. He gives you a picture of something, ask him about it. And then listen to his response. Carve out time to listen. And then rest in what he has to say. The scripture says that we're going from glory to glory. Do you believe it? And the fruit of our lives that's produced through abiding, again, it's what brings glory to the Father. The fruit of your life that you get from abiding is what brings glory to the Father. And so each year, you and I are meant to grow. You're meant to grow. Every year, we're meant to bring the Father the harvest of our lives. So at the end of 25, you have a harvest. It may be big, it may be small. It's the harvest you have. You're meant to bring it unto him. I'm meant to bring it unto him. And as the vine dresser, he purifies, refines, prunes, right? Why? So that we can have an increased harvest next year, right? We can produce more fruit. He told me to tell you that your epitaph and my epitaph is being written when you live, not when you die. It's being written right now. And that the encouragement from the Holy Spirit is so live well. Live well. And then he said, your legacy and my legacy is being established with every choice that you make. And the Holy Spirit encouraged, choose wisely. You don't have to choose out of fear. Don't need to be afraid. But choose wisely. Because your legacy hangs in the balance. And so my personal encouragement as we end 2025 is to invite the Holy Spirit to lead you in your own performance review. You have 3 days. Not kidding. Right? There's no time limit on it, right? And it doesn't have to look like mine. But I encourage you to carve out time and space to be real with God. You and God, be real with him. And be real with yourself. Right? Again, don't let those other voices at the table, those critical voices, that's not God. It's not how he speaks. It's not how he lords, right? And be real with others, right? Allow others to be real with you. Invite them to have a voice into your life. And then celebrate what God has produced in your life this year. There's fruit. Every single one of you has a relationship with Jesus. There's fruit. There's some measure of abiding that's going on in your life. Again, it's not about comparison, but there's some measure of abiding. So there's fruit. Celebrate the fruit. And then identify areas of growth as you move into next year. What are the places that God wants you to grow in? What are the places you want to grow in? Right? A lot of my list of things that I set goals for is because I want that. It may not be what he's putting there, but I want it. I'm not content settling with life as it is right now. And so we work with that together. And then the last encouragement is just to rest in His delight. That this process or a process of getting a performance review shouldn't be stressful, doesn't have to be stressful, because fear doesn't have a voice at the table. And that you're righteous, you're beloved, and you're chosen. So you can rest in His delight. As you stand before Him, you don't have to feel like somehow you don't measure up. Because He always already paved the way for you to be right where you're supposed to be. But there's more. There's more that He has for you, and there's more that He has for me. All right, let's pray. Jesus, I do thank you for this word. It's a different word. It's a different process. It's a different message. And yet, I trust that the gold or the life that's in this message for the individuals who are hearing it today and those who will listen on the podcast, that it will hit the mark. And whatever's supposed to connect with each person who is hearing, that it would hit the mark of what you're desiring to accomplish in their lives and the fruit that it's meant to produce. And we pray that that you would encounter us in a new and a fresh way. And that in this pursuit of authentic assessment, Lord, that you would allow us to throw off anything that hinders us or anything that would cause us to be afraid to approach you or to be real with you, and that you would allow us to come before you, and that you would speak and that you would reveal what's really going on in our lives. And you would highlight the things that are fruit that we can celebrate and give you glory in. And you would highlight any areas that you would have us grow, ways that you want us to even move farther along to becoming more and more like you. And we just pray for your grace. Obviously, none of this works apart from your grace, your divine empowerment to do what we could never do on our own. And I pray specifically for grace as we head into 2026, for the individuals who call grace home. I pray that there would be a special grace on abiding this year, a special grace to abide in deeper measures, ways that we haven't abided previously in our walks with you. And that from that place of intimacy, that there would be an increased measure of fruit that lasts, that gives glory to the Father, and that your name, Jesus, would advance here in Sonoma County, in this state and in this nation and to the nations as we partner in the business of advancing your kingdom with you. And we pray for your grace to rest on us this morning. And pray that for anybody who wrestles with the idea of being righteous, being beloved, or being chosen, would you meet them in that place? Would you remind them of the truth of your word? Would you remind them of your heart that's on towards them? And would you remind them of your yeses, right? We just celebrated one of you coming to earth as a child, taking on the form of man. And then the other is going through the cross for every single person who hears the sound of my voice. Your yes, it is what makes them righteous. It's what declares to them that they are beloved and ultimately that they're chosen. They were worth your sacrifice. And you don't have to say anything else because it's already been said. It's been performed. It's been displayed, your love and affection for each one of us. And I pray that it would be settled this year. Even before we enter into 2026, it would be settled once and for all those truths in each of our lives, and that it would give us a great place to start moving into a new year of connecting with you and partnering with you. Yeah. And so be glorified, Jesus. We celebrate who you are. We celebrate what you're doing. And we thank you for 2025. We thank you for the fruit that has been produced in our lives. And we put it like a banquet all before you, and we say, be glorified, Heavenly Father. Be glorified in our lives from this year. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.